The Broadcast, the biggest podcast in Vancouver, pretty much.
We participate in light misandry. Get out of here with that. Sexism. All of our societal structures are designed in ways to inherently prejudice women.
I don't like to be bamboozled.
Hi, Georgia. It's Troy Stetcher here. Thank you for labeling me the short king.
Vic actually just got the sweatshirt that says Mock Girl Summer.
I think it's amazing what you guys are doing, which I'm having a lot of fun.
Hello, and welcome to the Broadcast. I'm Sam. I'm here with Georgia and Mallory. And we are in, I guess this is officially, is this week two or week three of the NHL season? I guess technically second full week. How are we doing?
Loving being Canucks fans.
Already hard to watch Canucks hockey.
It's truly incredible. If you have not been following, the Canucks have blown four straight multi-goal leads in four straight games, and it's an NHL record. First time in NHL history, which is,
yeah. We love making history.
Yep. Groundbreaking season. Okay, we're going to jump into highs and lows. Our high this week, we got a really, really lovely review from Argentina via email. It says, "Hi, Broads. After about 100 episodes of thinking about emailing about how much I love the pod, saying I would, not doing it right away, and then immediately forgetting, I am finally doing it today. You are my absolute fave hockey podcast and what I've been wanting since I first got into the sport almost 10 years ago. You guys make my commute every time I have one of the episodes to listen to. Love from Argentina, Juana." That is a really lovely email. Also, I very much identify with saying I'm going to do something and then not doing it right away and then forgetting and never doing it. So that's,
yeah. And then being like, oh, I was meaning to do that.
Yeah.
I have someone who I've been meaning to respond to via WhatsApp for, I'm not kidding, 2 months.
Oh, I thought you were going to say longer than that. I've for sure put off doing something for more than 6 months.
Yeah. It's so bad. It becomes worse because you don't do it. And then every day it's like harder to do.
Yeah. It becomes like such a big mental block where you're just like, and then you do it and it's like, oh, that took like 2 minutes. Why didn't I do that?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So that was really lovely. If you are in the same boat as Juana and you have been thinking about leaving us a review, please do. You can send us reviews either on Spotify. Well, no, you can't leave it. You can go give us 5 stars on Spotify, but you can leave a review on Apple, or you can email us, or you can DM us at broadcastpod or broadcastpod@gmail.com. We had another comment, I think, from our YouTube debacle. That was my low, by the way. If anyone's wondering what the low is everyone watching me in real time fail at technology. Like literally for an hour, Georgia and Mal on a Saturday watched me try to set up a live stream. It was tragic. No.
We listened to you.
Yeah, you listened because you couldn't see me. Yeah, they listened to me. That's like the sign of true friendship. They sat there for an hour while I panicked and tried to set up a live stream.
While we're like texting on the side being like, we don't know what to do.
Like, yeah, I was texting Georgia. I was like, I feel so bad. I was like, I can't do anything.
Oh, neither could I. And then I started the stream and that sucked too. And then that was like 70 people watching me struggle in real time. So that was my low. I actually think I have PTSD.
But you said you did it on Monday and it was fine.
I watched that one. It was fine.
You're off on Monday. They had producer Drew from SDPN host the stream on the Zoom. So I didn't have to host the stream. I was literally just on the Zoom with him telling me what the screen was showing.
Oh my God.
That's why it didn't screw up, because I didn't have to do it.
Okay, well, maybe we haven't reached success yet.
Oh my God. That's incredible.
Yeah.
This is why we don't live stream, if people were wondering.
Because we did it with StreamYard, and that was fine.
Yeah, actually, that was okay. You're right. Yeah. That worked.
I just can't use a software where I actually have to like manually put in all the inputs and outputs and captures and things.
Yeah, that seemed very
It's actually
confusing.
Just that my laptop is like, I'm using, I couldn't download the software onto my normal laptop because it's my work laptop. So I was using my old laptop, which is like over 10 years old. And it was just like, no, I cannot handle Zoom and something else. So I just need a new laptop.
Yeah.
But those are our highs and our lows. Please subscribe, like our show, send us feedback, tell us what you want to hear from us. And yeah. And also, if you haven't signed up for the Patreon, sign up for the Patreon, because we have now decided on our next book club book, which is going to be Ella Enchanted.
And so Vanessa might read it.
I thought she was going to read the Colleen Hoover book.
Or no, it was Ella Enchanted.
Okay. Yes. Imagine if Ella Enchanted is the first book she's read since she said she was going to read 50 books 2.5 years ago.
It 1000% is.
She was going to read 50 books? She said
her goal was to read 50 books and she was going to start with A Brief History of Time.
Oh my goodness.
That was so funny. Oh man. Oh man.
I will say that I reached my goal of reading 52 books in a year. And then Georgia came and immediately started criticizing me about the choices of books as if she does not read like a million romance novels a week. And I was like, excuse me. And also, you were the one who was making me read these YA books. So
no, I genuinely wanted to know, because I wanted to know if you read all 13 of them. And then no, after I reread my comment and I was like, I'm like such a bitch. I literally like,
no, how many I these quit are after
diaries. Are you kidding me? You read like all these like lit fic like books and stuff. It's wait, I've been reading these trashy Kindle Unlimited series. It's
fine. I actually was thinking that I was like maybe gonna get like a actual like e-reader, since I honestly feel like I've been more into like actually getting ebooks and stuff recently. Mm-hmm. Just because of like the convenience factor.
Yeah, it's really, I find like it the most convenient for like when I'm on like transit or like whatever. It's just so easy to like just stick in your bag and then you have a library at your hands.
When it's like desperate times, sometimes I read on the Kindle app on my phone.
Yeah, that also works. We should contact Yanni Gordon, ask him if he wants to join our book club.
I don't think he does.
No, because I don't read Colleen Hoover.
What he reads.
We should state that I think it's from tonight. I should find the account to like credit them because they were the ones who found it. But
wait, while you look for that, I want to know Mal's thoughts on Colleen Hoover.
My thought is I'm happy to see more people reading. I don't want to criticize what they are reading. I will say it's giving James Patterson. It's giving, like, it's not highbrow literature.
I don't understand. So I listened to a podcast that I like have been trying to force on everyone, including Georgia, called Bad on Paper. And it's like the only podcast I listen to other than us. But they were saying she sold 7 million books last year.
She's super popular.
I don't understand. It's not good. I'm sorry. And I'm not saying I read good books. Like, I read a lot of romance novels, but it's not good.
It's like there's this recent New York Times article, and she even admitted, like, no one on her team understands why. Like, it's like, was literally like, we don't understand why. And
it's because she's good at the TikToks, right?
I don't think she even does it. She just exploded on TikTok. She herself
doesn't, no.
Because like BookTok found her and like it exploded. And her books are very like, it's very similar to like when Twilight exploded and people were like, wow, this is great. And then you actually look at the writing and like some of the stuff and you're like, this actually isn't that good. So I think it'll be like that kind of situation will happen with it, which will be, yeah, interesting to see. But yeah, Yanni Gord's reading Colleen Hoover. So
this is like the situation. I normally have like a book like in my purse or whatever. And like I've had to get my like bag checked at places, like they're looking in. And I've literally, this has to be like a while ago, because obviously they've been getting more strict with their bags or whatever. But I definitely remember being at like a baseball game and some like the guy who came, he was like, you gonna read your book in there? Like, what's your plan? Like, and I'm like, what are you gonna read your book during intermission, Yanni? Like, what's your plan of action?
I think they used to make fun of Emirates Stadium and call it like the library, because people would go and like read books, which that's where Arsenal plays. Because people would like show up with books to read. And every now and then on like Premier League broadcast, they will show someone sitting in the crowd reading a book. And I think it's unreal. But yeah, it was at Stressed Hockey posted the original one that I saw, which is Yanni Gord literally walking in like the full hat, three-piece brown check suit, holding It Starts With Us by Colleen Hoover, which came out yesterday. So,
and also like, one, it came out yesterday, so he had to be on some sort of pre-sale list. Two, it's like part of like at least like it's either the sequel or it's part of like a trilogy.
It's a
like, there are previous books that you need to have probably read.
It's so, a sequel.
I just want to pick so his funny. Brain about this. I want to pick his brain of when he was going to read this book in his free time. Like, was he gonna read it on like the elliptical, like, and like on
yeah, because he's
like,
walking the bike into the dressing room.
I don't know.
Incredible.
Do they have a book club? I need to know. Okay, we should talk
Allison,
about the
Lucan. We should.
Oh wait, we have one more. We have our low, which is not the.
Not
we were low of the thing, which was somebody got mad at me for saying Americans are all angry
and annoying.
I said they're annoying and angry.
I thought
that was like your archetype of an American hockey player. I'm like, oh, they're annoying and like angry.
I thought that review was so funny because it was like, shouldn't this be more scripted? Then there was like that comment, and then it was like, but other than that, it was great.
They were like, as an American, I'm offended that I'm being called angry or whatever. It's like, yeah. I guess they must have missed that Mallory is a fellow American.
Exactly.
Oh, well. Anyway.
Anyway, the Canucks, they are not good.
Straight up bad. So the Canucks are 0-3-1 to start. They have 1 point. 1 point. Which they got against the Columbus Blue Jackets, who are also bad. And they have had leads of 3-0. 2-0, 4-2, and 2-0. And they have blown them all. And I think JT Miller was on for the first 9 goals against.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I think he's -4, if I remember correctly. But also, I realized today, a fun little stat for everyone. Kyle Burrows, who was healthy scratch last game, I believe. He's only played 3 games. Has more shots on goal than JT Miller does.
Garland was healthy scratched. Not.
I thought Kyle Burrows was scratched because well. Tyler Myers came in. I thought. And Tucker Pullman.
Oh, yeah. No, you're right.
Yeah.
Tyler Myers was back.
Yeah, because he's played 3 games. He has 8 shots on goal, and JT Miller has 7 shots on goal. He's played all 4. So that's, like, not great. But, you know.
My favorite, like, stat situation is, like, plus or minus does not matter unless I can use it to make fun of someone. Like, I don't think that it's a real stat, like, really at all, except for when it is, and, like, somebody has, like, some miserable one where they're, like, literally like in I really like people's like cumulative ones where they're just like chipping down back at them. Like a lot of the Wings have really, really bad ones. It's really funny.
Yeah, because it doesn't take into account special teams at all.
No, it really doesn't. It's like a fake stat. We need to never talk about stats again. We need to
we need to end before we start talking about Corsi and
it.
Like
what do you think is wrong with the Canucks?
Dude, I don't know. But that's not my job. My job is not figuring out what's wrong with them.
I think it's so weird.
Paid millions of dollars and they need to figure it out.
Yeah, this is Patrick.
That is actually the correct answer because people are always like, well, what would you do to fix it? I'm like,
I don't know.
Why do you think I should fix it?
Yeah. I think, okay, there's a couple interesting things. So first of all, people are like, it's only 4 games or whatever. It's a small sample size. And it's like, okay, yeah, but.
Are we just ignoring the last how many years?
Yeah, because this team isn't that different from what we've had before. And also, you would think if you're the Canucks, who know that they're going to be fighting for a playoff spot. Is this not like playoffs? Like, what was the thing? When are we supposed to make the playoffs? Is it this year? I think it is.
Okay, so back in like May, Jim Rutherford was like, this team is not very good. It needs a lot of work. I think it'll be a couple of years before we are a regular playoff team. He said a couple of years. Mm-hmm. Then the trade deadline came and went. They made no moves. They added no one. They did not upgrade the blue line. And then he was like, actually, I think this is a pretty good roster. And also, I'm going to sign JT Miller to this massive contract because that makes perfect sense for this team.
So yeah, theoretically, they need to make the playoffs this year. And they all know that. So you'd think that they would want to, like, come out of the gate well, like that they'd be ready to go this season because, you know, this is the year, unfinished business. That's already gone, which is very funny. And then, like, that is concerning to, like, not show up in your first, like, they showed up for the first period and a half, I guess, of the Oilers game. And, like, cool. But we got 82 games in a season, guys. Like, you can't just disappear. Like, that is concerning. I am going to the home opener on Saturday. Because my boyfriend has tickets and his brother was like, I'm going to Arizona instead. So I'm going. And I'm really curious to see if they like boo. If we lose against Minnesota, do you think that they boo them?
Yes. Yeah.
Interesting.
100%. Minnesota's also looking for their first win. I will say, we are not as bad as the Sharks. The Sharks have lost 5 games. I will say,
two of those in Europe.
We just haven't played 5 games. But the Lightning is also at the bottom of the Atlantic right now. So,
and randomly, Colorado has a worse penalty kill than us. But they're scoring 50% on their power play. Okay. Because they scored like 4 power play goals against Chicago or whatever in the first game. But things are a little wonky.
I will say that I do think it'll take like a couple weeks for things to even out and for there not to be like the Lightning's at the bottom of the Atlantic. But I do think that the Canucks are making their home at the bottom of the Pacific right now. Like, they are setting up shop.
Because they look off.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and that's the thing where, like, part of it, like, so here's the issue, okay? Elias Pettersson playing really well. He's really good. Cool. JT Miller's not playing that well. Quinn Hughes is, like, a little off. There's something a little off with him. That is so concerning that your entire team gets derailed by your best defenseman being, like, 20% off and JT Miller not playing well.
Yep.
That is so bad. That is so bad.
Well,
then
they're also like, oh, well, and you know, it's really bad because like they don't have Tyler Myers, Tucker Poolman, and Travis Dermott. I'm sorry. If like not having Tucker Poolman and Travis Dermott is going to derail you 4 games in, you are not a regular playoff team.
No, like you're not sustainable because then that means like literally just, yeah, if, yeah, I don't even want to know. If Quinn Hughes gets injured, we are so beyond fucked. Like, and that is so concerning. Like, that's so bad. But, oh well. They just look like, at certain points during the game, they just, like, look like they stopped knowing how to play hockey. They're like, yep, we don't know how to pass. Like, the amount of drop passes that are just going into nowhere. It's like, there's 5 Jake Virtanens on the ice. Like, it's actually shocking. Is that mean?
No.
Is that too mean? Like, it honestly does.
Do you have any positives? My positive is, I think it's cute when they wet Petey on the PK.
It is cute. That is cute.
That is cute.
Because he really wants to do it.
And he does a good job. Like, he had a shorthanded assist. But that's really my only positive I can come up with for the season.
I think Pod Colson's looked good.
Oh yeah, Pod Colson has looked good.
They did a little they did like a little in between periods like video about him. And all the Canucks were like, he's our fastest skater and he has our hardest shot. And I'm like, cool. Let's see more of that, please. Like, we need this.
Oh, we need Kyle Burrows to be sniping like he did once.
He won't be one time. Scratched.
Okay, so before the season, Frank Saravalli predicted that Bruce Boudreau would be the first coach to be fired this season and got like angry responses from a lot of Canucks fans, specifically the ones who were like, he led them to a 107 point pace last season after he took over. Do you think Bruce is going to get fired soon?
Here's the thing.
What to say? Yeah. Okay, go, Georgia.
It doesn't matter. This team is not good enough. So the coach doesn't matter. This is why I hate the NHL. They do this shit where they're like, we got to fire the coach. It's like,
wake up the team.
Yeah. Like the Canucks did it and like they started playing better. That's great. But like they didn't make the playoffs because they weren't good. And it's like, it's not gonna, like, firing the coach doesn't fix our blue line. That doesn't fix the fact that we don't have, like, anyone good on our blue line. So, like, I don't understand what the point would be to do that. Like, literally, unless John Cooper randomly gets fired by Tampa and, like, you need to hire him or something, it doesn't really make sense.
Bring him
home. At the same time, like, Boudreau is like obviously not the management's pick. Like, that was not Alvin's hire. There's obviously weird stuff there concerning the fact that they like took a while to like bring him back. But I just don't, I don't think it's going to do anything. Like, you can't, if JT Miller's out there not back checking, that's JT Miller's fault. And I don't really know what Bruce Boudreau is going to do about it. And like, I know they had their players only meeting, but like, I don't know.
Yeah, that is that whole thing about like, how do you fix the Canucks? And you're like, there literally is no answer. That's like, well, every aspect where they play hockey, they need to be better at it.
Can we time travel back so they can draft some defensemen? Like,
it's like, don't know what and to also say. If we had access to players who are just fundamentally better, and they tried, then maybe we could eke out a couple wins. And even then, I'm not sure.
Yeah. Do you think he should get fired, Sam?
I do not think he should get fired. I actually think that would be a mistake. I think that he's actually the right coach, both for the market and for the team. I guess my biggest thing about Bruce is he's not Rutherford's or Alvin's guy, mm-hmm. right? Like, they hired him before they hired the GM and the president. And so if you're looking for a fall guy, that seems like the obvious choice. But that being said, everything you've said, like, it doesn't make any sense. Like, you have roughly the same roster. Alvin's done pretty much nothing to change the roster that they were given from Jim Benning. You've already fired one coach with Travis Green. You've brought in a guy with a totally different system, different approach. Mm-hmm. It's clearly not the coaching. Like,
yeah.
I don't know what it is. I think it's just that the roster construction sucks, which we've been saying forever. And no one believes us.
What do you think about...
Stop being mean.
What do you think about the storyline of the day? which has been JT Miller can't play center. Because
that's not the problem.
Miller, no. If JT Miller can't play center and they sign him to an $8 million contract over 7 years, that's a problem for this team. Because, well, then what are you playing Bo if you're paying JT Miller that as a winger? And what are you supposed to do if he's not your 2C?
The best part is everyone who's like, JT Miller is the 1C.
Oh, God, no. Literally, like, the center's job on the ice is to be defensively responsible, because they're kind of like supposed to play whatever role they have to when like a defenseman like pinches or like goes up and they're like rove around and they're in the center of the ice. And like, that's not JT Miller's strong suit. So I don't know. I just think it's interesting. Like, are they trying to force him to play center? And that's just not where he's supposed to play. I don't know.
Fair criticism. Sorry, I just like, I was checking my fantasy hockey team stats and I took Valeri Nichushkin. He has, okay, the Avs signed Valeri, I can bring this back to JT Miller, I promise. The Avs signed Valeri Nichushkin to an 8-year, $6.125 million deal. And I was like, Craig McFarland and Joe Sakic have gone insane. He had a huge year last year because it was a contract year, but it's Val Nichushkin. Like, come on. Why would you give him $6.125 million? He has 6 goals and 3 assists in their first 4 games.
Pretty good.
And he has been very, very good. And he is very defensively responsible. And we gave JT Miller more money than that. And he has been garbage. And it is just the most Canucks thing possible.
Yep.
So I'm also laughing because both my parents and Jeff are currently giving Sloan a bath and I can just hear them like trying to like entertain her. I'm like, it takes three of you to give her a bath.
Oh my God. That's incredible.
Yeah, I would agree with like, maybe he shouldn't be a center, but also then what are you doing?
I don't think that you should force him to play center if it is clearly not working. You shouldn't just be like, well, we spent a bunch of money here, so we're going to force it to work. But it does just...
But then they traded Jason Dickinson.
It does just... It's like, what was the like thought process here, guys? Like, what are you doing?
They are semi-constructing the forward group around the assumption also, that JT Miller will be a centerman.
JT Miller has been in the league almost a decade. Do you think that maybe we could have figured out his strengths and weaknesses by now? Like maybe, and not just like given him a bunch of money so he could play this role that he is not equipped to play? Like,
yeah, I think that's like, for me, the most concerning part of this whole thing is like, listen, I understand the fans who are like, he scored 99 points. He had a career year. He was our best player last year. We should build around him. He's the leader. I get when fans do that. Slightly more concerning to me when management buys into those kind of short-term narratives and hypes and are not cognizant of the fact that Elias Pettersson is your 1C and your best player, like the only person you should be building around.
Yeah.
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 I don't know what's happening here.
Also, I'm very concerned. I did see, or so Rutherford did like this, I don't even know if it was an interview or he just like answered a few questions for IMAC, but he did this. He was talking about the Canucks. He's like, oh no, like it's not a big deal if they're like, not, well, this is me paraphrasing, like it's not a big deal if they're bad on the road, because like I prefer my teams to start at home, blah blah blah, which is very funny because that's the antithesis of the usual hockey mantra, which is teams start on the road and then they gel together. And it makes me crazy every time they say it. Anyway, he was also like, he said something about Mikheyev coming back and that like taking, like that helping JT Miller. And I think it was Tosh who tweeted like, if this is what you need for JT Miller to be okay, that's really concerning. And it's true. It's true. So we'll see. We'll see how they play against Minnesota.
Okay. Do you think they win tomorrow?
I said that they would leave this road trip with 4 points. And so if they win tomorrow, then I'm right.
No, you're not.
That's
she's close. Price is right rules. She's
Price is right rules. I'm close.
I said 5 points.
They would have 3 points.
Yeah. So she's
you're thinking of you're thinking of Premier League points for wins. It's
I am thinking that they get 3 points if they win.
You've been watching too much Arsenal football.
I've been watching too much soccer. I've been watching too much soccer this entire time. I definitely want to say that my math based on that was assuming.
But like Price is right rules.
So technically I was saying that they were leaving with 3 points. I said they would get a win and a tie. I just did not know the rules.
That is true because you said, I think we said they would.
How come you didn't correct me when I said this previously?
I don't know. I didn't notice. And now I did. And it was funnier. What did we thought they were going to win against Washington.
I didn't know who they were going to win against, but I thought they would get 5 points.
Yeah. They're not gonna get 5 points. No. I don't know what they're going to do. I also haven't seen any Minnesota games, so I don't really know how bad theoretically Minnesota is. Yeah. It just doesn't feel good. Like, I think the thing, like, if I was a Canuck, like, and you have a 2-goal lead, I would not feel comfortable, which is not good.
Yeah.
Like, that's bad. I remember, I mean, let's gather around, children. Let's talk about 2011. Like,
let's not.
I remember, no, because remember you would watch games and they'd be down by like 2 goals and you'd be like, no, they're going to win this game. Like, they will win this game because that's what they did.
I don't remember what that feels like.
I know. It's so strange to think about. Oh, well. We'll see. We'll see how things go.
We'll see. We'll see how it goes. Do we need to talk about the Leafs?
No, I don't think so. It was just funny. It is just funny that like there is pandemonium happening in Leafs land. They're so mad that Mitch Marner's playing Fortnite. And they're like 500. It's he fine. You lost to the Coyotes.
He got carjacked over the summer. Cut the guy a break.
Oh, I thought you were saying again. And I was like, that's really funny.
Didn't Tyson Barry make a carjacking joke?
Yes.
On his Instagram? He was like,
honestly, tweeted his new car.
He tweeted his new car and then he was like, harder to carjack or something? I can't remember what it was.
There's definitely a carjack.
Oh, I think he said, hope this one doesn't get stolen. I think that's what he said.
It was something like that. Jesus.
Pretty funny.
Oh my God. NHLers and their humor. No, so that is funny, the comparison. They're like, you're 500, you're fine. We're over here barely making it through as Canucks fans. So everyone can settle down in Leafs land. You'll be fine. Also,
everyone who's like, it's fine that they're 0-4. We're going to get Connor Bedard. We're not getting Connor Bedard. Okay? There is, just accept it. We are not going to win the draft lottery. We are not going to get Connor Bedard. Just don't. Just don't go there. It's not worth your time.
Unless he pulls like an Eric Lindros, which like Connor.
He won't.
A guy. Please.
If anyone was going to do that, it should have been Owen Power.
Yeah, that's true. It would have been fun.
Okay. Shifting into a more serious topic. The NHL released its diversity report this week, which disclosed absolutely nothing shocking. I think it revealed that 86% of the league's employees voluntarily took this survey, which revealed that 86% were white. And I can't, what was it, 93% are men?
I think it's 83% are white.
83%.
And I can't remember the gender makeup. I think it's more 90 something percent are heterosexual.
Okay.
And then.
Okay, here we go. According to the report, 83.6% of league and team employees identify as white, with just 3.74% identifying as Black, 3.71% as Hispanic or Latino, 4.17% as Asian. Meanwhile, 36.8% 0.81% of league employees are women, and less than 4% of the league identifies as LGBTQ.
Yeah, I think the 90% one would have been heterosexual. Yeah.
None of that surprising information.
No, not at all. There were some interesting quotes that we'll read to you. This is from the intro from Gary Bettman. Most of it is basically just like a greatest hits, essentially, of the league, like illustrating where they stand in terms of like being good. Like it's not meant to be a reflection of like, this is where we messed up, or like, these are instances where we could do better. It's very much like a marketing kind of thing. Anyway, in his thing, hockey has a powerful platform to build character, teach life skills, and support our society and communities, that's a classic kind of thing. And then this one got me. When there are incidents that violate inclusivity in hockey or barriers that negatively impact the participation of underrepresented groups, we are committed to reckoning with those moments as opportunities to demonstrate our values and create a better future. I was like, okay. Okay. Let's look at how the league has done this historically. It's not been great. And so guess we got to hold them to it, because it'll be interesting going forward to see what happens. Like, they mentioned the George Floyd moment being like this moment of awakening for them to have new ideas and like change. And it's like, well, that shouldn't have been what made you change, but okay. Let's keep going. And then there is like a recognition of the fact that they don't, that they need to get like to create an environment where BIPOC people or queer people or women or whatever are like built into the system. So like they're trying to do stuff with their fellowship and internship platforms, but like that's still 53% white people. And then the other thing is they mention, there's this one thing, I need to pull it up, that they mention where it's one section in the report. They mention that 52.8% of employees had, only 52.8% of employees had strong familiarity with hockey prior to joining their current organization. This trend carries through to management and senior executive roles, where 53.34% of respondents had strong familiarity with hockey prior to joining their current organization. These results indicate that the league includes a variety of perspectives and experiences from other industries, and that advanced hockey knowledge is not required in many roles, which can help inform future hiring and recruiting efforts. Which I thought was really strange and not super, like, that's such a weird thing to highlight, but you know that's because of the jokes of like, all these people got hired because they golf with like, because they're like on the golf squad for like ex coach or like ex league official or whatever. So you can see them trying to like clearly respond to specific stuff, which is interesting. But basically what the report tells us is like everything we knew, and everything we know about the fact that like women are one of the largest growing demographics. And we all know that that's from One Direction breaking up, and Tumblr.com, and the romance book genre, and AO3.
Okay, I feel like that's like art. Okay, I do agree with this, but also then I was thinking about Tyler Sagan, and I was thinking specifically about the Tyler Sagan Jamie Benn ship and how that predates One Direction's breakup. And so you've got some people in the trenches doing some Dallas Stars RPF before this even starts. So I also, we've been working on trying to trace this because we wanted to do an episode talking about it, and then we realized it was too impossible to trace. Like, you cannot even figure it out. So I don't know.
No, there's definitely, that stuff predates. There's like
Chris it very Higgins much predates it.
RPF.
Like, I'm sure there's like some people that were like handwriting their like Gretzky RPF like back in the day.
Probably. But yeah, it is interesting. They do know basically the stat is that the NHL is, it's like 4.9 million increase in the past like decade, basically. It's like an increase of 60% over the last year in viewership, I think it was. It's like, isn't surprising, but also they don't like, it's so funny because none of that stuff, I feel like none of that stuff is because of what the NHL does. Like none of that is through these initiatives that they're like touting in the report, specifically the women's stuff. Like they've actually done a lot to alienate.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of
so it's just like an interesting thing. I mean, I can only speak to like the women's perspective of it, but like, yeah, it's an interest. It's just like an interesting thing to note, and then also to like take credit for.
Yeah, I think that a lot of the growth of women's interest in hockey has been very organic. And very much like through communities where like other women are like, oh, I'm interested in hockey. Like you should get interested into it as well. Like, and whether that be like through a fandom pipeline or something of that nature, it hasn't been due to any sort of efforts by Gary Bettman.
No, not like I actually can't even think of like
a single initiative that the NHL has done to try to
other than
like making like very ugly merch.
Yeah. Which is still horrifying. The purses, the high heeled shoes, the bathing suits. That's really fun. Suits. So it's an interesting doc
to read. They are now switching into women's gear made by Carey Price's wife.
Oh yeah, I did see that. Pain. They're also relaunching Hockey is for Everyone, which I thought was really funny because it's like really like I could understand wanting to relaunch like the program that you have the like behind it or whatever, or the idea of the program that you're wanting to push out, which is like grassroots hockey stuff. But that has been ridiculed, like that statement has been so ridiculed that it's like a joke now. So it was just kind of funny that they wanted to maintain it, though. I don't know. I will say that I don't know how much branding they've done with it. I do know that the dude at UBC Law once got really mad because they didn't have his name big enough on the merch. And so they had to hand scrape his name off of a bunch of beach volleyballs. Redo them. So maybe the NHL was like, we've gone too far with the Hockey's
Everyone merch. Allegedly, I heard that he once made them move a tree from in front of the building because it covered up his name from a certain viewpoint.
Yes. Yes. UBC Law, let's go.
It's like, this is not what I paid for.
Yes. I think he's also the only, Allard is written on the degree. I think it's the only one
that's written on the degree. Is it written on the degree?
I think it wasn't written on and he sued.
Yeah. I think he sued them because it wasn't written on the degrees. I'm pretty sure that's what happened, is he sued them for that.
Love dudes from like, Dow schools.
Yeah.
Anyway.
One interesting thing I thought about the report was friend of the pod, Gabby at Hockey Nuisance, pointed out that the NHL is the only major league that has declined participation in the TIDES racial and gender report cards, and TIDES is the Institute for Diversity and Ethics in Sport. So it is interesting that they chose to do their own internal report rather than participate in an external one. And the other notable thing about that is I think the NFL has a D- score from TIDES and their stats are still better than the NHL's. So make of that.
And I think it was pointed out, I think it might've been Mark Lazarus pointed out that like, all of the other leagues have this information. They've had it available for like almost a decade. So the NHL, this is like, they're really late to the game with this. And so there's a lot of stuff, and particularly I think in Mark Lazarus's article she wrote on The Athletic, it's really interesting because what it did talk about is like, this stuff is great, but it's everything that they've done is like basically within the last year or two. So as much as we want to champion this, and that's great, and I think that we can sit here and say like, there have been strides made, and that's good. That's good. But also like, it is literally recent, and that's something that you can critique, and that's fine to critique. And that doesn't mean that it's like, that you're dissuading them from doing this work, but it just means that it's like, you can't just present this in this glossy marketing spin and have us not say, hey, wait, like, what historically have you done? Have you acknowledged like the failures that you've had? Or like, are you actually acknowledging the systemic issues that are at play? Or are you just being like, here's some jerseys and like, here's a few initiatives, you know, like that's, I think that's a healthy dialogue to have as fans and to be able to critique it. I will also say that like the, one of the other big things is like the NHL's refusal to like work with the HDA. And Akeem Aliyu actually tweeted today, very disingenuous of the NHL to put out a report that states one of their main focuses is youth and BIPOC engagement, yet they refuse to work in a meaningful way with current / ex members of their league, in brackets HDA, who are doing exactly that with the HDA grassroots and outreach programs. And it's like, that's also like concerning. And if anyone's done the most work at this, it's Black Girl Hockey Club.
Mm-hmm.
Like has been doing this for longer than the NHL has. You know, so yeah, there's some, I'm not like an expert in like the way these things are written, so I can't critique it fully, but there is definitely some stuff where you go, oh, that's like a little weird, you know, because if they want to talk about engagement or whatever, like, or people coming into the game, like how much is that coming from them versus coming from places like the HDA or Black Girl Hockey Club who are doing that work? So yeah.
By the way, like, sorry, I clicked on Lazarus's article and I'm just scrolling through the comments. Ooh. And literally, first of all, I don't know why the comments are open. Like, close the comments.
Yeah.
There are still tons of racist comments, but like the first 15 things you scroll through is just comment removed for violating code of conduct. Comment removed for violating code of conduct. It's just like repeatedly.
There's literally, I was telling Mallory this before you jumped on, Sam. There's 500 comments, I think 550 comments. Almost half of them are just arguing over the demographic makeup of like Scandinavian countries and the Czech Republic to argue that this isn't racism because there's not people of color there, which is like, okay.
Okay. It's also not true.
Not true.
Well, and then the other comments are like, well, the NBA is like racist against white people.
Yeah, they like, yeah, a bunch of the comments also say Lazarus is racist against white people. Like, it's just, it's crazy. And this made its way onto like Charlie Kirk or whatever, who went off on some terrible tangents. But it's like, yeah, the best comment in all those Lazarus things was like, someone said somewhere near the bottom was like, do you guys not realize that like you are the reason he's writing this article? You're a bunch of white men arguing over the demographic makeup of like obscure countries to try and claim that hockey should be white. Like, you are insane.
No, they don't realize that.
Yeah, they absolutely don't. They want to argue in the comment section of The Athletic. So
no brain cells.
No brain
cells whatsoever.
Exactly.
So stay tuned for Hockey is for Everyone coming back. That's going to be fun. Can't see all the ways that's going to go wrong.
Thanks.
Another week, another shit show.
All right. We are going to wrap up with our usual three stars. Georgia, who is your star of the week?
My star is Jacob Vrana, current player for the Detroit Red Wings, who today checked into the NHL substance. I can't remember what it's fully called. Player assistance and substance mm-hmm. support, I think, fund.
I think it's just, yeah.
Program?
I think it's just player support.
Player support.
Players assistance program.
Player assistance program. And hopefully he's doing okay. And it's always good to get the help you need, no matter who you are. So that is my star of the week.
Mal, who's your star of the week?
My star of the week is Beth Mead.
Let's fucking go.
George and I both watched the opening game of for Arsenal's group round in Champions League, which was against the previous winners of the Champions League, Lyon, and they smashed them. It was 5-1. Beth Mead had this incredible free kick that she scored off of, and then she had another goal too. It was a great game.
Caitlin Ford had 2 goals.
Caitlin Ford also had 2 goals. She gets an honorary half star. Blackstenius, I think, got the 5th, right?
No, I think it was, I can't remember her name. Fuck, my life is gone out of my head. It was a great game, not going to lie. There's like 5 minutes where I was concerned that Arsenal was fucking around. And then they scored.
Frida Monum.
Scored. Thank you. And then it was all uphill from there. And Vivian Miedema wasn't even playing.
She did not even play.
Well, she came in at the end of the game, but like she wasn't starting. And yeah, also we got a bunch of content, Viv and Beth content, because they went to the Ballon d'Or and together. Bukayo Saka was totally third wheeling them.
He was third wheeling. And then also they posted like on Getty Images, a picture of Vivian Miedema with Beth Mead and said Vivian Miedema and guest. And also, Beth Mead came second in voting. Viv finished 11th, so she finished higher.
It's incredible.
It's great. Also, they played Beth Mead's ex-girlfriend.
Which is very
fun. So, let's go lesbians.
Sam, who's your star?
My star of the week is friend of the pod, Perrier, who is, as of this week, a board member of Black Girl Hockey Club Canada.
Yeah!
Yay! So cool.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
Ready to see what they do.
Yeah, that's awesome.
We didn't talk about this last week, but Georgia got a shout out in the To Hockey With Love newsletter last week.
I did. If you guys don't subscribe to Hockey With Love, it's very, very fun and very, very good. And they did shouted out my romance Substack, which you can also follow if you want romance recs that are.
I also then unhinged. Had to like text Gabby because in the same one she was talking about planners, and I was like, I can't believe we haven't talked about planners before. I need someone to talk to about planners.
Let's talk about using a planner once and then not using it again with me and Georgia.
Literally every year I'm like on Anthropology and in my like shopping cart is some $65 agenda. And then I have to have a quiet word with myself to be like,
but every year,
Georgia, like, will you buy this and use it? No, you will not.
But my walk excuse away. Every year is the agenda is, I cannot find an agenda that is exactly what I want. Not that I could tell you exactly what it is that I want. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you what I need from it specifically. I just know that the ways in which the ones that I find are like almost right, but not right.
Yeah. My problem too is like, I get one and then, or this happens to me with journals. I get a journal and I'm like, great, I'm going to do it. And then I write in it for like 2 weeks and I'm like, I don't really like it, but I've used it now. So it's just going on the shelf because I'm never going to use it again. And then it just fucking sits there.
My goodness. Yeah.
I need help. I need serious help.
Don't we all?
Yeah.
All right. Great talking to you guys for another week. Let us know what you thought of this episode, what you want to hear more of, what you don't want to hear more of, any ideas for brainworms episodes, sign up for our Patreon.
If you have any more thoughts about the thread of the collapse of One Direction leading to the rise of female hockey viewership, we're trying to come up with a thesis, but we can't. I mean, that is our thesis, but we have nothing else to support it.
I think we need to go undercover on some Reddit boards. Romance Reddit.
I think AO3 you're too Reddit. Late in that. You're too late.
No, we need to just ask, like post a question or something and get survey responses.
Didn't
someone do a survey about how people became fans?
Yes. That does exist. I can't remember.
Because we talked to Spencer about it. I swear we did.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Hi, Spencer.
Hopefully you're watching Bachelor in Paradise. I am not. Love is Blind 3 is out. We will discuss at some point.
Patreon episode.
Okay. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.